Hey, what up, Blaine? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. Well, I appreciate you jumping on the Mouth Today podcast. We appreciate that. And definitely wanted to circle back with you because life comes at us in mysterious ways. Obviously, we're all quarantined right now. And
Yeah.
I think what, 5, 6 years, well, I don't even know how many years ago, a couple years back, I was able to have the opportunity to play with you in a pro-am.
Yeah.
So I remember that. And I actually remember you being huge into CrossFit. And I was just probably getting into it, a little bit more than I originally was. And so it's kind of cool to see a pro athlete that, used CrossFit as to help them on the golf course, at which I actually, to be honest with you, I didn't golf that much that year. So that's why I was so terrible when we golfed, but I had a great time. But wanted to give, the average fan out there, the audience, just a little bit about, your background and who you are. So I said, who could talk about themselves better than anyone is usually the person. So I just wanted you to
Yeah.
do a quick bio about yourself and where you're at today, and then we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. And I'm sure that we had a great time out there in Reno. And I hope I hit some good shots for you. So,
You definitely did. You definitely did.
yeah, good. Yeah, so I grew up in Florida. And obviously the basis of this podcast is kind of sports and the fact that I play golf. And so my dad introduced me to the game at a really young age. Love both my parents. They've been a great support system. I have a good, stable family life, which I'm grateful for. I know that that's often not the norm, so I don't take that for granted. Have three siblings. I'm the oldest of the four, three boys and then a girl. Everybody plays golf, which is fun, except my mom. But she was always the biggest cheerleader, as is often the case. And so my dad introduced me at a really young age, 2 or 3, but just go out there and hang out with dad, ride in the cart, whatever. And then started to really enjoy the game and get interested at probably about 8. And wanted to compete and play in tournaments and kind of get more into the competitive mode with it. And then, like a lot of kids, I played other sports growing up, played baseball and soccer, and golf just seemed to I was the best at it. And I also loved just the, I think at that age, I loved the challenge of it. I loved being able to go out with my buddies and spend all day at the course and just goofing off and having a good time. And so at 12, I stopped playing the other sports and focused only on golf. And now that I'm a little older and further removed, I probably would advocate more for a well-rounded athletic experience and probably would have told myself to keep playing other things. And I would love my kids to kind of play other sports because I think athleticism in general and using different parts of your mind and your body are helpful. But anyways, I specialized in golf at 12 and started becoming more competitive and having some success at a state national level in high school. Started getting recruited by some Division I schools, which was awesome. And it came down to a couple ACC, SEC schools, and then UCF and down in Orlando, the University of Central Florida. And I really liked Nick Kleinerd was the coach and felt like he and I meshed well together and was going to have a good opportunity to succeed under his leadership. And so went to UCF out of high school. We had a great freshman year together. And that summer, we finished the season ranked top 15 in the country. I think it was this program that he had inherited 7 or 8 years earlier and took them from no man's land up to, we were close to top 10 in the country and won regionals, won our conference championship. It was at Conference USA at the time and had a great year. And then he got offered the job at Auburn. So Auburn was one of my final picks in the first place and didn't feel like the right choice at the time, but kind of went through the recruiting process again, just to feel, see if I acclimated well to the city and the school and stuff. And I just, I'd seen the results of working with Nick and him being my coach. And so I transferred to Auburn and ended up here. Finished out my playing career, got my degree from Auburn, and met my wife. And since we kind of had the flexibility to live wherever we wanted to after we graduated and got married, we picked Auburn. She's from Alabama, but about 2 hours away. And then where I'm from in Florida is about 4 hours away. And so we just felt like it was a good kind of intermediate stop for us in our life. And here we are 8 years later, and we still live here and we love it and we're invested and don't really have any aspirations of leaving. We're building a house here now, and just we love this place. So been here since finished school in 2012 and turned pro that year, and have played on pretty much all the tours you can in the US, from mini tour golf into the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour. Played mini tour golf for a year and a half, got my Korn Ferry Tour card in 13, played a full season out there, and got my PGA Tour card through the money list. Played 4 seasons back to back on the PGA Tour, and then currently I am in my second season on the Korn Ferry Tour again, working my way back. So, have done a lot and seen a lot, and here we are today in quarantine, waiting to play again.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, so you got a great story. Obviously, you went over a lot of different stuff. Just to let everyone know, you were an All-American multiple times, all two-time SEC honoree, and then you made two All-American teams at Auburn too. So it
Yeah.
obviously, you said it was tough in the decision to go from UCF to Auburn, but I mean, it seemed like a lot of good things came out of that. You got to stay with the same coach, it sounds like,
Absolutely.
and you played very, very well. So, yeah, I mean, one of the things, if anyone Googles your name, which I'm sure will happen after this, is the one of the main things that come up is the Q school story, right? And so,
Yeah.
I think it's when I was just talking to you earlier. I mean, I don't want to say this about the norm, but I think it would be very, very difficult for people to do what you did. Just because Q school is so, I mean, I never went through it, obviously, but it's very hard, right? That's the way you get into the PGA Tour, right? Or get on the different tours.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people that get in there, it's very difficult, and you eliminated yourself from the school. Can you touch base a little on that story, just to give
Yeah.
the public? I think you did something super honorable. I think you should tell the story when your kids are older. I mean, it's just amazing. It talks about, you know, the person you are today.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. So Q School is your one opportunity throughout the year to get status on one of the major tours, which is how you have a stable job in this game. And even then, it's still performance based, but that's your only avenue to do it. It's $5,000. It only happens once a year in the fall. There are multiple stages to it. So there's pre-qualifying, first stage, second stage, final stage. You got to make it through all of them, unless you have some sort of exemption category that bumps you through one of the stages. And then, ironically, my first year doing it was the last year you could go straight from Q school to the PGA Tour. So it was kind of this dream event every fall. Some guy that has never had any status, or some guy straight out of college, can go to Q school and get straight onto the PGA Tour, which is the premier tour in the world. It's where you want to play. And so it was the last year they were doing that, because in 2013 they started to where you go only to the Korn Ferry Tour from Q school, and then you can graduate from the Korn Ferry Tour to the PGA Tour. So the direct line to the tour was kind of getting eliminated in 12. And so I did first stage in Pine Mountain, Georgia, which is Callaway Gardens. It's only about 40 minutes from Auburn. So I stayed at my apartment that I lived in with a couple of my teammates, and just drove back and forth every day, which was convenient, and played great. But the second round, I had an incident in a bunker where I had this funny big leaf that was kind of sitting vertically in the sand. So it was almost like it was half buried vertically, sitting like with a clump of sand around it. So it wasn't, you know, it was right behind my ball. So it was in a weird spot. Even though it was in the sand and in a stable position, I'm not allowed to touch it or move it because it's a loose impediment under the rules. And so I was trying to be very careful to like make sure I pick my club up really vertically quickly to miss it. And I kind of feel like I brushed the leaf on the just ever so slightly brushed the leaf on the way back on my backswing. Hit the shot, got up and down or whatever. And I told my playing partners, I was like, "Hey guys, I just feel like I touched that leaf back there. I was trying not to, but I'm gonna just give myself a penalty." And so instead of a, I think it was a I made a par, but so I gave myself a five, a one shot penalty. That night, one of my former teammates who was still on the team, we were just sitting on the couch eating dinner, and this was the second round, so I still had two more rounds. And he said, "Oh, was that a one shot penalty or two?" And as soon as he said that, I was like, "Well, I guess it's one." I told my playing partners, I gave myself one shot, signed my card, day's over. But if it's two, then I'm disqualified, because if you sign for a score lower than what you actually shot, it's a disqualification. Like, there's no going back and changing it. And so I looked up the rule, and I saw that it was two, and I immediately knew that if in fact I touched a leaf, I either had to make it right or I was disqualified. And so then doubt started to creep in as to, like, I mean, I'm about to get married in 2 months. I've got no job moving forward at the moment. I have a little money in the bank. I played well in the fall, but, like, this is a massive financial opportunity. I want stability and safety for my wife and, at the time, my fiance. And so I started thinking, like, well, if I was kind of doubting it in the moment, maybe I didn't actually touch the leaf. Because if you sign your card for a higher score, then you just, like, it's kind of a bonehead move, and you just take the score that you signed for. So basically, lower, you're disqualified. Higher, you just accept the mistake and move on. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I didn't touch the leaf. So I talked to my brother who's caddying for me. And I remember after the next two rounds, I'd come back to Auburn and go out to the facility, and I'd almost kind of like recreate the incident in the bunkers on the practice area, just trying to find some peace and, like, come to a conclusion in my mind. And I just couldn't do it. I played great the next 2 days, and I easily qualified. I got through. I finished like fourth, and the top 20 made it through, maybe. So I got through, with flying colors, and was on to the next stage. But over those next 3 to 5 days, I just couldn't shake that feeling that I had, even though it wasn't intentional, like, I had just done something wrong, and I'd broken a rule, and I just needed to live with it. I want to interject that I don't want to come across as some, like, person standing on some crazy moral high ground. There's a lot of stories that have this sort of feel to them and outcome within professional golf, which I think is a great testament to the overall integrity of golf. I mean, you're an individual contractor running your own business, playing your own game by yourself. You got your caddy, but, like, it's on you whether you pull the shots off or not. And it's not, you don't have a referee calling penalties on you and calling you out when you do something wrong. You have to kind of self-referee what's going on. And so there are numerous stories like this. Mine just happened to be at Q School, happened to be the last year that you could go straight to the tour. And people will ask, like, well, how did you do that? Or what made you do, like, I mean, truly, I don't want to veer off into a crazy faith-based message here, but, like, I think it's just the spirit of God within me that I wanted to just forget about it, and I wanted to move on, and I wanted to go get on the PGA Tour and start my life. But I knew that I needed to do the right thing, and I needed to be above reproach and walk in integrity, and that the Lord would take care of the rest. Like, I didn't need to try to control and manipulate and be greedy and selfish in my circumstance. I just needed to let it go and do what was right. And then, 8 years later, I wouldn't have it any other way. One of my best friends, because I disqualified myself, five guys ended up getting in because they finished, I think, 18 in ties, maybe got through. And there was five guys at T19. But when I disqualified myself, that moved them all to T18, and so five more guys got through. And one of those guys is Chesson Hadley, who's now one of my best buddies and has won on the PGA Tour and has been out there for 5 or 6 years. And so it's funny how just following what I felt like was the right move changed his life. And not that I take credit for that, it's cool how all those things work together. And so yeah, it worked out great, and I learned a lot from that, and grateful for being here 8 years later and being able to kind of look back on that fondly.
No, that's, I mean, it's an amazing story. That's why I didn't want to interrupt at all or anything. I mean, I think it's great. And I think it starts to what you talked about when you introduced yourself, just that you have a very, a strong parents, right? I mean, your parents, I mean, that's obviously probably instilled with you. Obviously, you have strong faith too, which is, phenomenal. And obviously, I think that what you did was you're ready, you're ready in. You already did what everyone wants to do. You already had that card punched. But like you stated, you had a lot of different financial strains and a lot of things that were changing, and you didn't allow your faith or what you thought was, on your moral compass, right? Which was 100% correct what you did, and you took that risk, right? When you went out and no one was calling you about it, you called it out yourself, which I think is great. It's obviously everything's worked out correctly for you. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about that. You've had success playing golf, obviously, and been able to make substantial amount of money doing it too, which is really cool. But I think it's I'm so glad that you were able to touch base on it and just give a little bit of background. And I don't think you were standing too tall at all. I think it's something that needs to be spread of how you did that, because those are the stories that everyone needs to hear now. And so I appreciate you sharing
Yeah,
that.
absolutely.
And one, yeah, and you also, speaking of success, you've been able to have you did be able to pull up a trophy and win. So I always think it's cool when you see someone winning something on TV, but you never really have the opportunity to embrace what's going through their head of how the win transpired. I would kind of like behind the scenes, like, when did you realize you were in contention in the sense of like where it really started your, people say your palms get sweaty, you start to overthink things. Did that happen when you did win? Because obviously you won on the South Georgia Classic in 2014, and then you also had another when you were in the playoff on the PGA Tour, which is kind of funny because I see that you playing against Billy Horseshoe, and he's a Florida alum, so I don't know if you guys are, talking a little trash, SEC trash out there. Probably not on the golf course, but I just thought those were both interesting. So if you wanted to touch base just on, that maybe that last round when you were approaching about the win.
You hear guys talk a lot about the mental side of it and staying in the present and all the cliche things that people talk about when they're playing well. And it's so true. Both of those wins, or well, I didn't win the RSM, but I got into the playoff and then winning the South Georgia Classic in Valdosta. I didn't look at a leaderboard either time in the final round. I made a commitment that I just wanted to go out there. I wanted to play and give myself the best opportunity I could to be in contention to win, but to just not base my decision making and my comfort level on where I was on the leaderboard. So, I really just it's amazing. So one of the biggest areas I think I've grown in professionally over the last 8 years is the mental component of golf, and it's stuff that just has to take place organically, and you got to figure it out for yourself. And guys that figure it out quick have success early. Some guys it takes a while, and I feel like I'm finally in my lane, and I'm strong in that area, and I've got it figured out. But in my career so far, the times that I've done it well are the times that I've had the most success, and it's just been so hard to duplicate it and replicate it again and again. And so like both of those instances, I was just very committed to each individual shot, and I was the nervousness is more like in those situations is more the 2 to 3 hours leading up to teeing off, just because I'm excited and ready to get out there and get under the gun and play. But as soon as kind of you hit that first tee shot and I get going, a lot of those nerves settle down, because then it's like, okay, the hard part's over, let's go out and just take care today and see what happens. I mean, I remember very vividly, it was a big moment for me. I doubled 13 in the final round in Valdosta, hit my drive in a hazard, and ended up making double. And it didn't faze me. I just kind of, licked my wounds, walked a 14 tee box, played those last 5 holes, and I ended up winning by 1 or 2. I remember the last hole, I kind of like toe duck took a drive that almost went out of bounds, and hit a 5-iron up there and 2-putted. And as soon as I tapped in, I asked my caddy, I'm like, you know, where we stand? And he said I had a 2-shot lead. So it was almost like just an instantaneous feeling of like, okay, I did it. Instead of, I had no clue where I was standing on that last screen, which was good, I think, because it just allowed me to stay in the present and be calm. But yeah, those are obviously fun things to look back on. And I think that I now possess the tools to make that happen more often than not. But at the time, they almost kind of just felt fluky in terms of how well I handled the mental side of it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, not looking at the leaderboard. I mean, I guess I'm just, I guess once maybe after like the first 3 holes of not looking at it, you're probably pretty good. Maybe not consistent. I get so obsessive. I'd be like,
yeah,
just having to check it.
Well, and it's so, it's easy to, like, if you're so many, it's hard. Honestly, you have to know where the leaderboards are, because more so on the PGA Tour than the Korn Ferry Tour, you gotta, there's so many leaderboards at different points on the course. You can just bend over to read a putt and like accidentally see it without trying to see it. And so there are quite a few rounds where I will like, I'll know, okay, there's one right of the green on 14, there's one left of the fairway on 16, et cetera, just so I can kind of redirect my focus. And it's, I mean, I'm okay. I think at this point now I'm okay if I just see it, I can kind of just let it be what it is. But there are times where, you know, if things are a little off, my game doesn't feel great, I've got a 5-foot slider, and I look up and I see that if I miss it, I'm going to drop 8 spots. Like, it just – it adds more pressure instinctively than it needs to at times. So I just find I do better if I kind of just focus on myself.
Oh, that's awesome. No, it's kind of good to get a little bit of background, because when you're watching it on TV, like – 99% of us do, right? You know, we're like, oh, we know the scores, we know this guy's 3 bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's all being public. You know, that's all they talk about is, and they'll go to zoom in to this guy, or you know, they'll show some good shots here and there from other people that aren't in the hunt. But for the most part, they're just literally just, you know, the leaderboard, the top 3, top 4 guys are the ones that you're watching the whole time.
Yep.
Another thing I wanted to touch on real quick is where you currently are, right?
Yep.
So you were on the PGA Tour, and now you're on the webtour.com. And I think that a lot of people just, you know, like I was stating earlier, is like, once you get on the PGA Tour, you're good.
Yep.
Life is good.
Yep.
You call it a day, and you know, every tournament you're playing in, you know, it's all money from there, right?
Yep.
But in golf, it's a lot different. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah.
And currently where you are? Because obviously after this, I hope to have a lot more people in your corner rooting for you and following your story too.
Yeah. So one unique thing about golf versus other major sport league, so MLB, NHL, NBA, NFL, we don't have any contracts. It is year to year, completely performance based. You meet the mark or you don't. It's all the FedEx Cup points list, and the only way to have more than a year guaranteed work is to win. So if you win a regular PGA Tour event, it's a 2-year exemption. If you win an invitational, so think like Jack Nicklaus' event, Arnold Palmer's event, Tiger's event, those are 3-year exemptions. And then if you win a major, which the 4 majors is a 5-year exemption, and so there's just the year-to-year grind of, you start the season and you, it's hard to kind of the really like down-to-earth practical things are, it's difficult to budget. It's difficult to know what house you can buy, what, like, you just have to be smart and use wisdom to kind of navigate. Like, there's a lot of money available to professional golfers at the highest level, but I mean, you can make a ton of money 1 year and then not make any money for the next 3, because it costs so much to travel and play that you may make a 6-figure gross income. But by the time you spend, you know, pay your caddy, pay travel, airfare, hotels, food, et cetera, like it gets, pay your taxes. I mean, you get down to 0 real quick. And so, I played 4 years on the tour, had a great run, started struggling with my game kind of late in 18. And then actually had to go back to Q school, and played last year on the Korn Ferry Tour. And I didn't play. I had a chance to win last summer, finished tied for third in New York, but finished inside the cutoff to keep my status on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is great. But then in the Korn Ferry Finals, I missed getting my PGA Tour card back by a shot at the last event, the last round, in our tour championship. So that was tough to take. It was a really close call. I played great that week, and I literally came up one shot short of being back. And so now I'm fully exempt again, have a full season to play. Obviously, this entire COVID-19 thing is shaking up our season, and we still have no clue what it's going to look like right now. But yeah, it's a unique sport, just in that, I mean, you perform or it gets taken away from you real fast, and so you got to stay on top of it.
So you said you missed it by one shot. Is there one shot that just bugs you till today that you
Yeah,
just think
yeah,
about? I mean, obviously you don't hold on to anything, it seems, but I'm always like, man,
yeah.
if I would have done this different, it would have had a different
You
result. What's
know,
that one shot in your head?
I mean, I could pick multiple shots from that week, from that final round. But the thing I'm the most proud of from that is that I truly, probably for one of the first times in the purest senses, that was the toughest round of golf I've ever played, was that final round last fall with a chance to get my job back, because of the pressure and the difference in the financial opportunity between the two tours and just kind of what it meant for my family. And it was a big day, and I felt the weight of that. And the thing I'm the most proud of is that I genuinely feel like I went out there and just hit every shot with 100% commitment, 100% focus. I gave it my all, and I made a few loose swings coming in, but like, they weren't nerves, they weren't flinchy, they weren't passive. I just made bad swings, which is going to happen. And so I hit a great putt on 17 that just in the practice round kind of did one thing, and I hit a great putt and it did the opposite, and just barely missed on the edge. And it was just like, I got done and I was like, just missed by a shot. And so it's hard to accept that sometimes, but being able to accept those failures, quote unquote, I think I've learned to, as long as I'm doing what I can to contribute to the success, then I can live with it. If I'm doing something that is limiting my potential for success, then that's what's hard to accept. But not if I give it my best.
Yeah, nice. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I just wanted to touch on, there's a lot of people golf, right? So we don't got to go into too many detail, but what do you tell the average golfer, right? Like anything that they should, any tips? And then I do have a young cousin that's been, he went from shooting, I think his freshman year, and I'll give him a shout out, Andrew. He was shooting like 100, right? 100 something freshman year, and then he committed, like you said, you committed at 12, he committed his freshman year in high school, and now he's shooting in the 70s. He was made it down state in Illinois this year as a junior, and he's really focusing on it. I mean, golf is his life right now outside of school. He does get straight A's too, so shout out to the academics. But what would you give a person that's in that area of their life, like how can they, get where you're going in a
For
sense,
sure.
right? Like mindset, is it body? You do a lot of CrossFit, which I'm going to touch on in a minute, but I wanted to just give that advice and then
So
go from
obviously
there.
you have the sort of standard hallmarks that you got to do to be elite at something. So it golf, especially at the highest level, you got to have a really good short game. You got to be able to kind of save those bad rounds with chipping and putting and saving shots when things don't feel good, because very rarely do you go out there and it's just clicking on all cylinders. That doesn't happen very often. You gotta have enough distance. Golf has become, a pretty distance oriented sport in terms of how far the ball goes. And so you got to make sure you at least reach some threshold so you can hang at that level with those length of courses. But all that is kind of no knowledge. I think that being really self-aware, and so for Andrew, knowing exactly what it is that he does and how he does it, and having a coach or people around you that you trust that are going to help you do what's going to make you the best that you can be. 'Cause you're not, it's easy to buy into trying to be something that you're not. So, I'm not trying to be Brooks Koepka's length. I'm not trying to have Phil Mickelson short game. I'm trying to have the best component of Blaine Barber's game in every respect that I can. And sometimes that just takes kind of putting the blinders on and not looking at what other people are doing, and just trying to improve in any way that you can to maximize your ability and your talent. And I think that applies to any level, you know, whether you're a 90s shooter trying to get down into the 80s, or you're a high school student that wants to play Division I golf and go play professionally one day. It just, you gotta be comfortable in your own skin.
Well, I appreciate that. So thanks for sharing. Now, one thing is that you'll notice if when you're following you on Instagram, is that you are a pretty big advocate in, you know, like everyone's saying, get moving every day, right? But you've been doing this for quite some time. I know you do a lot of CrossFit checking you out, and so that's pretty awesome. I just had a question because CrossFit is huge, right? Across the, I mean, one, it's obviously keeping you in shape and stuff, but I wanted to understand what's your favorite CrossFit workout, would you say? What's something you like doing? That's, I know it's probably a tough one, but you know, all the CrossFitters that do follow
So
will be
I'm
able to
full
relate here.
disclosure, I'm a huge CrossFit junkie in terms of being a fan. Like, I'm a fan of the sport of CrossFit. I love the sanctionals and the regionals and the games, and like I follow it as a fan. In terms of strict methodology, I love what CrossFit advocates. I don't do it super strict because I don't do a ton of gymnastics movements. I don't do a ton of weight. But I love the high intensity functional movement, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I would say that I kind of pick and choose, you know. So if we're going to use the term CrossFit, I just want to make sure that like I'm not a member of a CrossFit gym. If I didn't play golf, I probably would. I would love to go join a gym, but I have to kind of tailor it to make sure that my body is functioning optimally for what I'm trying to achieve. But like today I did triple threes, which is a an actual workout from the games back in 2014. It's a 3,000 meter row, 300 double unders, and then a 3 mile run for time. And so workouts like that that are, you know, I have the cardio machines in my garage. I have a rower and an assault bike and a ski erg and whatnot. Things that I don't have to, you know, scale weight or something where I can do body weight or, you know, more finesse movements like a double under. I love doing stuff like that because I can push myself. It's good cardiovascular work. And it's honestly working out for me is mostly just the mental grind. Like I love just having to focus my mind, seeing how far I can push myself. I think it keeps my mind sharp just as much as it keeps my body sharp. So, yeah, I love it. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I could relate. I mean, not relate from a golf standpoint, but I think like CrossFit's always helped me keep my mind strong, and you are very focused, and you're pushing hard when stuff's. I mean, it's one of the mottos is embrace the suck, right? It's a lot of CrossFit workouts, and so you know you're putting your body through some things that you normally wouldn't if you were just going to a regular gym. That's what I like about it. All right, so I got a couple other funnier questions, more just you know during the quarantine. So outside of family members, okay, I allow you to pick a foursome to golf with. And who you picking to golf with? It could be someone on
Yeah,
tour, it could
so
be a movie, it could be
I
whoever
had
you
this
want.
question on a Q&A on Instagram the other night, and I'm picking Justin
Okay.
Timberlake,
Oh, nice. My wife will
Tom
love that.
Brady, and I'm gonna switch it up. I'm gonna go Brad Pitt just because he seems cool.
Okay, there you go. That's awesome. I mean, Brady's going to be in your neck of the woods, your hometown now, right? Well, not hometown, but it'll be in your home state.
I've never been an NFL fan, and when I was growing up in the 90s, the Jags, the Bucks, and the Dolphins all sucked. And so I never got into NFL football, but now being a Florida, you know, growing up in Florida, I may have to be a Bucks fan because I like Brady.
Nice. All right. And then another funny question is, it's going all over social media. Have you watched Tiger
Oh
King?
my goodness, I'm on episode 4 and I am deep into it. And I actually, once I saw that it came out, I've listened to the Wondery podcast that they did. I think the documentary is better on Netflix, but they actually do have a 7 or 8 part podcast on the same story that I've listened to before. So I kind of knew some of the backstory, but I mean, it's one of the crazier things I've ever seen, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And then, favorite movie that you'd recommend for everyone? Because we got nothing but time. So, what? Any recommendations
Man,
there?
I two that okay, three that come to mind, that just the plot and the Shooter has always been one of my favorites with Mark Wahlberg. It's an older, I mean, within the last 15 years, good movie. Inside Man, it's Inside Man or Inside Job, Denzel Washington, crazy plot. I like Denzel. It's a good movie. And then Law Abiding Citizen with Jamie Foxx and Gerard Butler is like, I've seen it 5 times, and every time I see it, I kind of forget little things, and it just blows my mind every time. Those are all kind of like,
Nice. That's all.
thriller, drama type, but those are some of my faves.
No, that's awesome.
I wouldn't recommend watching
One thing
Contagion
is
right
you.
now.
No. Stay away from that, right? You were given some advice earlier, and I know you're obviously you're very successful, and you were talking a little bit maybe a week or so or 2 weeks ago in regards to helping others. From a golfing standpoint, you said you would recommend getting a coach and reaching out to just someone that's pretty well versed in helping someone. And I know you're doing that currently. Did you want to talk a little bit
Yeah,
about what you're doing
sure.
there?
This has been something that's been kind of ruminating in my mind for the last year or so. I love golf. I'm grateful to play it professionally, and I don't have any intentions of stopping anytime soon. But with a young family, the travel is the hardest part. And so one day I definitely want to transition into something to where I'm not on the road 25 weeks a year. And I don't know when that is. It may be 20 years from now, I'm not sure. But I love the game. I feel like I've had a lot of experiences in the game, and so I love sharing those with people, and I love trying to help other people become better, whether you're a 30 handicapper who's just getting into the game, or you're a high-level high school player that wants to play Division One golf. And so I'm kind of just testing the waters and seeing what kind of response there is for that kind of performance coaching. And not so much the technicalities of the swing and how to hit the ball differently or better, because I mean, I think that a big part of improving in golf is just understanding how to play the game, understanding if you're a 50-yard slicer and you don't like hitting the slice, sometimes 10 shots of improvement can just be understanding how to harness that instead of trying to fix it. I have a website called the domain is bbgolfconsulting.com. And I've just kind of put up some info there with my background and some of the things that I feel like where I can add value to someone's pursuit of that. And just kind of want to see what that may hold. And it's spurned in part just because I have so much time off over the next couple of months with this quarantine. So yeah, and it's something I feel like I can do even in the midst of playing and traveling, and it's a unique opportunity to, get some insight from somebody who's still in the mix of it competitively, which I think is unique. So, yeah.
No, I appreciate that. And I guess, well, one, I appreciate your time
Absolutely.
today. Definitely jumping on. And obviously it seems like you're keeping, we're all in this together, just waiting to
Yep.
see what the next steps are. I guess May 1st is probably the new target date, it seems.
Yep.
But yeah, I wanted to first and foremost thank you for jumping on. And then yeah, I will definitely put the bbgolfconsulting.com in the link on the website, so you can find that on Apple
Awesome.
iTunes,
Yep.
and I'll send you the link. But yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And then My wife's going to be excited about your Justin
Oh yeah,
Timberlake and
I'm a big JT
Tom
fan.
Brady and Brad Pitt. So I think she might probably pick two of the three too. So
Perfect.
that's awesome. Well, thank you again for your
Yeah.
time, and you have yourself a great
Same to
afternoon.
you. Thanks for having me on. See you, Tim.
Thank you.